contaminate a specimen. So should such claims be treated dubiously? I asked. Harding nodded solemnly. Very, she said. If you wish to understand at once why we know as little as we do about human origins, I have the place for you. It is to be found a little beyond the edge of the Blue Ngong Hills in Kenya, to the south and west of Nairobi. Drive out of the city on the main highway to Uganda, and there comes a moment of startling glory when the ground falls away and you are presented with a hang glider's view of boundless, pale green African plain. This is the Great Rift Valley, which arcs across 3,000 miles of East Africa, marking the tectonic rupture that is setting Africa adrift from Asia. Here, perhaps 40 miles out of Nairobi, along the baking valley floor, is an ancient site called Olugoseli, which once stood beside a large and pleasant lake. In 1919, long after the lake had vanished, a geologist named J.W. Gregory was scouting the area for mineral prospects when he came across a stretch of open ground littered with anomalous dark stones that had clearly been shaped by human hand. He had found one of the great sites of a Sherlian tool manufacture that Ian Tattersall had told me about. Unexpectedly, in the autumn of 2002, I found myself a visitor to this extraordinary site. I was in Kenya for another purpose altogether, visiting some projects run by the charity Care International, but my hosts, knowing of my interest in humans for the present volume, had inserted a visit to Olugoseli into the schedule. After its discovery by Gregory, Olugoseli lay undisturbed for over two decades before the famed husband and wife team of Lewis and Mary Leakey began an excavation that isn't completed yet. What the Leakeys found was a site stretching to 10 acres or so, where tools were made in incalculable numbers for roughly 1 million years, from about 1.2 million years ago to 200,000 years ago. Today, the tool beds are sheltered from the worst of the elements beneath large tin lean-tos and fenced off with chicken wire to discourage opportunistic scavenging by visitors, but otherwise the tools are left just where their creators dropped them and where the Leakeys found them. Jilani Ngali, a keen young man from the Kenyan National Museum who'd been dispatched to act as guide, told me that the quartz and obsidian rocks from which the axes were made were never found on the valley floor. They had to carry the stones from there, he said, nodding at a pair of mountains in the hazy middle distance in opposite directions from the site, Olugoseli and Ol Esakut. Each was about 10 kilometers or 6 miles away. A long way to carry an armload of stone. Why the early Olugoseli people went to such trouble, we can only guess, of course. Not only did they lug hefty stones considerable distances to the lakeside, but perhaps even more remarkably, they then organized the site. The Leakeys' excavations revealed that there were areas where axes were fashioned, and others where blunt axes were brought to be resharpened. Olugoseli was, in short, a kind of factory, one that stayed in business for 1 million years. Various replications have shown that the axes were tricky and labor-intensive objects to make. Even with practice, an axe would take hours to fashion, and yet, curiously, they were not particularly good for cutting, or chopping, or scraping, or any of the other tasks to which they were presumably put. So we are left with the position that for 1 million years, far, far longer than our own species has even been in existence, much less engaged in continuous cooperative efforts, early people came in considerable numbers to this particular site to make extravagantly large numbers of tools that appear to have been rather curiously pointless. And who were these people? We have no idea, actually. We assume they were Homo erectus because there are no other known candidates, which means that at their peak, the Olugoseli workers would have had the brains of a modern infant. But there is no physical evidence on which to base a conclusion. Despite over 60 years of searching, no human bone has ever been found in or around the vicinity of Olugoseli. However much time they spent there shaping rocks, it appears they went elsewhere to die. It's all a mystery, Jelani Ngali told me, beaming happily. The Olugoseli people disappeared from the scene about 200,000 years ago, when the lake dried up and the Rift Valley started to become the hot and challenging place it is today, But by this time, their days as a species were already numbered. The world was about to get its first real master race, Homo sapiens. Things would never be the same again. 30. Goodbye. In the early 1680s, at just about the time that Edmund Halley and his friends Christopher Wren and Robert Hooke were settling down in a London coffee house and embarking on the casual wager that would result eventually in Isaac Newton's Principia, Henry Cavendish's weighing of the earth, and many of the other inspired and commendable undertakings that have occupied us for much of the past 400 pages, a rather less desirable milestone was being passed on the island of Mauritius, far out in the Indian Ocean, some 800 miles off the east coast of Madagascar. There, some forgotten sailor or sailor's pet was harrying to death the last of the dodos, the famously flightless bird whose dim but trusting nature and lack of leggy zip made it a rather irresistible target for bored young tars on shore leave. Millions of years of peaceful isolation had not prepared it for the erratic and deeply unnerving behavior of human beings. We don't know precisely the circumstances, or even year attending the last moments of the last dodo, so we don't know which arrived first, a world that contained a Principia or one that had no dodos, but we do know that they happened at more or less the same time. You would be hard-pressed, I would submit, to find a better pairing of occurrences to illustrate the divine and felonious nature of the human being, a species of organism that is capable of unpicking the deepest secrets of the heavens while at the same time pounding into extinction for no purpose at all a creature that never did us any harm and wasn't even remotely capable of understanding what we were doing to it as we did it. Indeed, dodos were so spectacularly short on insight, it is reported, that if you